Good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, here with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. This is the broadcast that hell hates, and the more you listen, the more you know why. Amen. And it's good to be here this morning. Sorry I didn't do a video last night. I was really tired, and it was a long day, and I was kind of hurting a little bit. Just wanted to take some time last night to, you know, just kind of relax. And I kind of went to bed early. It was a very long day yesterday. It's going to be another long day for me today, so please keep me in prayer. And today, we're going to be talking about adultery. We're going to be talking about that we are not to commit adultery. And Jesus tells us that even if just looking at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And we know that there is actual physical adultery, but there is also spiritual adultery, and we're going to be getting into both of those today. I'm going to kind of be correlating the physical and the spiritual adultery, and we are going to be, you know, talking about why we need to put God first. Amen. Now, if you remember what we called from the previous few videos, we've talked about Roman Catholicism, we have talked about the Jesuits, we've also talked about the Illuminati, and something that the Roman Catholic Church does is they prop up Mary higher than anybody else. And they prop up all these saints, and they're bowing to these idols. And let me tell you something about that. That is indeed spiritual adultery. And the reason for that is they're putting idols above who God is. And God says, we're not supposed to do that. Okay? I like what Brother Ryan had mentioned yesterday on his broadcast on how that the Godhead is not graven onto any, is not made into any image. Amen? Let's go to that verse real quick. Let's go to that verse here. So we have to type in image. I think it's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's in the book of Acts. I got to look it up here. I can't find it. Let's put graven. Let's do that. Let's put graven on there. Oh, that's interesting. When you type in graven, graven is 55 times in your King James Bible. That is 11 times 5. Amen? 11 times 5, that's 55. Wow, 5. I didn't think of that. 5. Something that comes to mind, and 5, okay? Like graven, like as engraven image, okay? Let's see here. You got five. You got Satan's 5-point plan. In Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, there's five things mentioned. I'm not thinking as, my mind is going everywhere this morning, so I just have to just kind of slow down a little second. Here we go. Here's the verse here. Acts chapter 17, verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Okay? Graven by art means that God is telling us that there is no image, there's no symbol for the Godhead. Okay? People who think that there is a symbol of the Godhead clearly don't know their Bible very well. Because in the Bible, in Acts 17, 29, it says there is no symbol for the Godhead. Amen? And so what we see here in the Roman Catholic Church is that they have all these symbols, they have all these saints that they're propping up. They're praying to dead people, basically past saints. They're committing spiritual adultery because they're propping and they're putting all these saints above God. That's who they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're putting all these dead saints and they're propping them up above God. More specifically, they're propping Mary above God. Amen. Now, I want you guys to just think about this for a second. Okay? If the Pope was the Vicar of Christ, and if he is supposedly God on earth, which is blasphemy and wrong, and the Pope is wrong, okay? But say if he really was the Vicar of Christ, okay? Why are they propping? They're propping Mary up. They're propping up Mary to being above. It almost kind of seems like they're putting, like they always say, you have to pray to Mary, you have to do this and do all these Hail Marys and all this stuff. The question I have for you is why is Mary being propped up above God, and yet why is the Pope saying that he's got the final authority and the final authority and whatever he says goes, and yet they're putting Mary higher than God? I don't know about you, but that's confusion. That is confusion. You know what that is? Hang on a second. Let's see. Double-minded man. Let's type that. Double-minded. Let's put that in. Double-minded. That's interesting. Double-minded is mentioned two times in your King James Bible. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't you think that the Pope is unstable? Don't you think that the Roman Catholic Church is unstable? Because I'm going to tell you something. People are putting the Pope as an idol. Wow, that's interesting. Okay. The Catholics are worshiping the Pope as God, as Christ, as the Vicar of Christ. The Pope says that you need to pray to Mary. I don't know about you, Number one, that is spiritual adultery, and every Catholic that bows the knee to the Pope is guilty of spiritual adultery and is breaking God's commandments. Why? Because spiritual, idolatry is adultery. Remember that. James said, you break one, you break all. Idolatry is adultery. And it's adultery to God because God is a jealous God. He is jealous for his kids. He is. But what you also see is that the Pope is saying, that the Pope is implying by his words that Mary is higher than God or just as equal as God. And yet he claims to be God, and yet he's telling people to go and pray to Mary. I don't know about you, but that seems awfully lot like a double-minded person. Again, James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Pope is unstable in all his ways. Roman Catholicism is unstable in all their ways. The Roman Catholics, like the most devout, hardcore Roman Catholics, they are adulterers. And adulteresses. They are adulterers and adulteresses because they go off worshiping idols. Does anybody know what James says about about the adulterers and adulteresses? Okay, turn with me to James. Turn with me to the book of James. Got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. Let's see here. That's Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. Okay, here we go, James. We need James chapter, was it 3 or 4? Does anybody know for sure, is it 4? Let's see here. I think it's 4. Oh, here we go, James 4:4. Okay, James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, it's interesting that James, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says adulterers and adulteresses. You know why that is? Because if you are a friend of the world, you are therefore guilty of spiritual adultery. You know why? Because the world, well, first of all, the world loves its own. But the world goes after, they go after the things that are not of God. So they have idols. The ways of this world goes into idolatry. They have things they love. The things of this world. They love the things of this world. They love sin above God. And therefore, now I know this is going to hurt. I know it's going to hurt. But if you don't have God first in your life, you are an adulterer. You commit spiritual adultery because you have idols that took the place of God. In other words, if you don't have God first in your life, and you prop up other things other than God before, if you prop things higher than God, You are a adulterer. Why? Because you have an idol. And by the way, you know what God does with idols? God knocks them down. Think of Dagon. Let's go to that for a second. Let's go to Dagon. Dagon. You know who Dagon was? He is the false god, little g, that the Pope wears on his head. Dagon. Did I spell his name right? Hang on a second. Dagon. Dagon is part fish and part human. The Pope has a mitre that looks like a fish's head. Therefore, that should tell you who they really worship. They worship Dagon, which Dagon was the god, little g, of the Philistines. Okay? Here's what God does with idols. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again. You know what that says? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. What do I mean by that? Every knee shall bow before Jesus Christ, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is only one God, and that is Jesus Christ. And the Catholic Church has made a whole bunch of little gods. She really is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. You know why? Because everybody that's in that Catholic Church is an adulterer. You know why? Because they worship idols. And God says, you're not supposed to do that. That sounds really hard for people to grasp, and I understand that. But listen, okay, here's why I say this. For all you religious Pharisees that claim to keep the law of God, who claim that they are a good person, you are wrong. I'll tell you why. Because if you claim to be a good person and yet you have idols in your life, you've already broken the commandments that God had put out. Now let me make this very clear. We can't keep the commandments. Okay? We break them. However, that is why Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross for our sins. That is why Jesus Christ had to come. Because Jesus Christ was the only one who could keep all the laws. And he did it perfectly. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. We are poor, we are wretched sinners in need of God's grace, which is Jesus Christ. So all of you religious Pharisees that think that can keep God's laws, you cannot. You know why? Because I can't. If I can't, neither can you. Okay? Dagon is an idol that the Roman Catholic Church worships, whether they like it or not. And by the way, the Catholic Church is setting up all them Catholics to receiving a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. You know why? Because the Roman Catholic Church worships the Antichrist. They don't worship. They don't worship Jesus Christ. They worship the Antichrist. And remember, Roman Catholicism is pagan, which makes me wonder, is it possible that it would be through the Roman Catholic Church to help usher in the Antichrist? Could it be a possibility that the Roman Catholic Church is behind in helping to usher in a new world order? And I'll tell you why that is. Because they're the ones that are behind the Jesuits. Okay? The Jesuits came out of Roman Catholicism. Okay? The Jesuits are a Catholic military. You know what's connected to the Jesuits? The Illuminati. Why? Because Dr. Adam Weishaupt was a ex-Jesuit priest, and he went to a Jesuit school, which makes him a Jesuit. Okay? He formed the Illuminati, which then he actually infiltrated Freemasonry to help recruit for his order, which draws a line from Freemasonry. And Brother Ryan had mentioned about how he talked about the KFC. No, I didn't say KFC, not Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's a sorry, I don't have my sound effects. I wish I did. But KFC, okay? Knights of Columbus. That is Catholic Freemasonry. As above, so below. If you look at their symbology, it's as above, so below. And so that kind of makes you wonder, is Roman Catholicism the one that's behind all these things? And by the way, it was the Roman Catholic Church that persecuted and had Bible believers killed for not following the Pope. Could it be that they're going to do the same thing? I was looking on Facebook this morning about how President Trump is a Jesuit. You know, I kind of wonder if that's true. Because he and Hillary Clinton were founded. After that third presidential debate in 2016, Trump and Clinton were both found at a Jesuit dinner. And if that's true, that kind of makes me regret a little bit that I put a Jesuit in office. You know what I'm saying? Just having to think back on it, that's a regret that's probably going to be another regret that I have. I voted for Trump purely basis that he would bring judgment to this nation. But knowing that stuff, you know, seeing people say that he's a Jesuit, Pence is actually a possible Jesuit candidate because he claims to be an evangelical Catholic, which is quite interesting that he would call himself an evangelical Catholic. And knowing that I also saw too that Brett Kavanaugh was a Jesuit too. He's a Jesuit, and he got put into the Supreme Court. Now, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about, guys. the Jesuits have influenced this nation and their infiltrated politics. And I don't know, it's just, oh man, it's just, there's some, I guess there's just some regrets right there for ever voting for Trump. I think I'm going to sit the next election out because I'm going to tell you something. When it comes, here's the thing. I'm not against voting. I'm not against it. We should go out and vote. But when it comes to the presidency, lately it seems like it's been, you had to choose the lesser of two evils. And it's like, well, if you chose Hillary Clinton, okay, we know what she would have basically condemned this nation to hell in a handbasket. And this nation would have been a lot worse. Or you had to vote for Trump, who is now an alleged Jesuit. So it's like, who do you choose? Do you choose, I mean, you're basically like, you really don't have a choice, really. I mean, sure, you could probably, you do have a choice, but it's kind of like, you got to choose like the lesser of two evils. You know what I'm saying? But and listen, I'm sure there are some really good born-again politicians in Washington. But a lot of them are just flat-out corrupt. You know, which kind of makes me wonder, too, is it possible that the reason why Trump is so hard to read because he is a Jesuit? Jesuits are like as hard as a rock. It's like you want to take them and just skip them through a pond or something. No, I'm sorry, that's not right, but you know what I'm saying. But the Jesuits are just terrible people. They kill, they steal, and they destroy, and they're of the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church claims to be Christian? I don't think so. It was the Catholic Church. Remember, it's the Catholic Church that killed our brothers and sisters. It was the Catholic Church that killed our forefathers that believed that baptism was a believer's baptism. You said believer's baptism. Yeah, I did. You know why? Because this whole baptism, this child baptism, whatever they like to call it, is not even a baptism. It's just, you're basically giving your child a bath is what essentially is what it is. You just pour water on their head. That's all you do. That ain't baptism. Man, just throw some shampoo and just pour water on their head. That's not baptism. That's not what is in the Bible. Jesus said that he went into the water and he came up out of the water. That's being submerged. You need to be submerged in water. Babies and infants cannot make the choice of to choose Jesus Christ. They don't know that yet. You cannot submerge a newborn in water. Okay? You just can't. People who think that are just absolutely nuts. Amen? You cannot, and the Roman Catholic Church, hey listen, I grew up Lutheran, I was infant baptized, and that's nonsense. It's nonsense. I actually was officially baptized by a body of believers, it was 2017. I was officially baptized into a body of believers 10 years after being born again. And after receiving Christ, I was actually baptized. But here's the thing. The Roman Catholic Church, they really are creating a whole bunch of adulterers and adulteresses. They really are. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Amen. So let's go ahead. I want to talk about this because I got some scripture to go through today. That was kind of a very long introduction, so I apologize. But I want to just do what the Holy Ghost says. Amen. So, 2 John. Turn with me to 2 John. 2 John. And actually, for the sake of time, I'm going to actually read from my notes. If that's okay, I'm going to read from my notes. I'm going to turn to 2 John here, and then I'm going to read the rest of my notes from my notes. 2 John, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You know what's funny? The Catholic, okay, it's not funny, it's actually very serious, that the Catholic Church does not abide by the doctrines of Christ. They do not. By the way, if you don't abide in the doctrines of Christ, but you go after false... Oh, I just thought of something. Do you think Kenneth Copeland abides by the doctrines of Christ? Do you think heretics abide by the doctrines of Christ? No, they don't. And therefore, they are spiritual adulterers. You know why? Because they're taking on, hang on a second, another gospel. They've taken in another Jesus, another spirit. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you want to learn more about that, you should go and listen to Brother Ryan Payton. Brother Ryan has, he has a show of his own. And he does a good job with explaining. I don't know if he's still in the series or not. You might want to check with him. But he was, for a while, he was doing a series called Another Jesus, Another Gospel. And the stuff he said, the stuff that he has said and says is phenomenal. And I'm going to tell you something. If you abide in false doctrine, and if you abide in false doctrine, you are an adulterer, because false doctrine and a false doctrine that presents a false god is what it is. And if you worship a false god, you are a idolater and an adulterer, spiritually speaking. Paul says, I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Look, let's pull that verse up here. Chaste. Let's do chaste. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. By the way, you know who that one husband is? Christ. If you take on multiple deities and you fool around with false gods, that makes you a spiritual adulterer. That makes you a spiritual harlot. Paul here says that he's espoused you to one husband that he may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. We are to only have one husband. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Not multiple. Only one. Isn't that interesting? That this nation, is starting to become a pagan nation. And yet, when we take a look at the laws of the land, they're starting to make bestiality and even, what is it? Is that term polygamy? Is that the right term for multiple women? For a man to have multiple women? Is that from multiple wives? Is that what that is? I might be wrong on that. You might want to check me on that. But basically, it seems like they're probably going to try to push for a man that can have multiple wives. Now, of course, you see that in the Bible and in the beginning. But here's the thing. The reason why that was in the Bible in the beginning was so they can populate the earth. Actually, hang on a second. I might be wrong on that. I think there's one instance where you had a man with two wives. But you don't see that very often. And you don't really see that often in the Bible that I'm aware of. You know what I'm saying? But the point I'm trying to make is that a marriage is between one man and one woman. And this nonsense that Jesus Christ was married, physically married, let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ was physically married, he would have been disqualified as our high priest. You know why? Because there is one that he's married to. That's the church. That's the church. He's married to the church. He bought the church. The church is bought and paid for. Amen? So, Paul says that he has espoused us to one husband that he might present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Amen? Now, going back to the scripture, and going back to 2 John. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So, we're going to continue on now. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Okay? That was Samuel talking to Saul. Okay? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. By the way, does the Roman Catholic Church rebel against God? Yes, they do. Are they stubborn? The Pope is stubborn, isn't he? He's stubborn because he is a Jesuit Pope, and he's stubborn. He don't want to know the truth. That says iniquity and idolatry. And by the way, does the Roman Catholic Church commit idolatry? Yes, they do. They prop up Mary and they prop up every other saint that they have. And they pray to these saints. Which, by the way, you're not to call no man your father. The Pope is not your father. The Pope is a liar and a fork-tongued deceiver is what he is. I had other words, but just to be nice, I'm not going to go to the other names. But he's a fork-tongued deceiver is what he is. He is a antichrist. And people who worship the Pope are in serious violation of God's laws. They are. They are in serious violation of God's laws. You know why? Because if you worship the Pope, you are an adulterer and an idolater. You commit idolatry and you commit adultery. Who was it? Did Joel Osteen ever go visit the Pope? I don't know. I know Kenneth Copeland visited the Pope once, I'm pretty sure. But you have all these evangelical leaders that went to visit the Pope. Now just because you visit him doesn't make you an adulterer, but let me be clear on that. If you worship the Pope and you go over there and you bow your knee to him and you kiss his ring and you say that he's God and he's a holy father and all that stuff, that's worship, folks. That's worship. Even a lot of our politicians, they do the same thing. Who was it? I think I read, I had somewhere in my message where, I think it was, who was it? Was it, what is his name? Who was it now? Not John Boehner. Maybe it was John Boehner. I don't know. I'm not sure it was John Boehner. But you had a politician that basically regarded the Pope. He loved the Pope more than any of his constituents. What was it? I can't. Schumer. I think if I remember correctly, it was Schumer. It was Schumer. I can't remember. Schumer or some other politician that's well known that said that he loved the Pope more than a particular person. That's frightening when you think, that's frightening when you have someone who claims that they love the Pope more than anything in the world. That's adultery, folks. And that's idolatry. And by the way, that's rebellion, which means that you're guilty of witchcraft. You know why rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? Because when you rebel, and more specifically towards God, you're basically telling God that I don't need you. I'm just going to do it myself. Now listen. I'm not saying that all rebellion is bad. I'm talking rebellion against God. Now that's bad. Okay. Now, there was a quote. I'm sure you might know the person who said this, okay? But the quote goes like this. Rebellion against tyrants. I can't remember. It's rebellion against tyrants. Hang on a second. I'm gonna find out who said that real quick. Just please bear with me. Let's see, I'm going to go to Google. Come on, Google. You know, sometimes the technology is good, but sometimes it goes really slow. Let's see. Rebellion and tyrants. Here we go. Who was it that said that? Okay, so let's see here. I wonder who said that. Okay, so the quote goes like this. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. What I mean by that is, this is what this means. If you know what a tyrant is, if you have a tyrant in whom the coming tyrant is going to be the Antichrist. Rebellion against a tyrant or the soon coming Antichrist. Rebellion against the tyrant saying, no, I'm not following your ways, I'm following God's. Okay, that's not witchcraft, people. Okay, that's not. I want to make that clear. When you rebel against the tyrant, and usually tyrants will set up laws that are contrary to God's. Okay? God says, okay, if that happens, you need to obey me first. Okay? You need to obey God first. God wants, if there are laws that are contrary to God's, you obey God's laws first. You obey God's laws, okay? Not man's laws, okay? When a law contradicts the law of God, you obey God's laws, amen? That's what I'm trying to get at. So, what was that? I don't know. They were going to actually use that for one of the seals for the United States of America, but it did not get used. They came up with something else. Anyways. Okay. So, because that was... Okay. So, Proverbs 17:11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Exodus 20:14. I think we all know what that is. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Deuteronomy 5:18. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Okay. God doesn't want you committing adultery physically or spiritually. Okay. He doesn't want you. And spiritually is spiritual adultery is going after idols. Physical adultery is you lusting after a woman and you, how can I put this in a pleasant way? Going in onto a woman when you're not married to her. We'll put it that way. We call that fornication. Okay? God does not want anyone to commit adultery or fornication, period. It is what it is. Physical adultery is you lusting after a woman in your heart. It can be really taking a married, basically doing certain acts with a married woman, which you really shouldn't. Okay, here's the thing. Adultery is, I'm bambling on and on and on. But God does not want you committing adultery spiritually or physically. Spiritually, and speaking of idolatry, physically speaking, of doing, basically, let's put it this way, defiling the marital bed. God doesn't want you doing that, okay? That's adultery. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. I bet you a lot of these people who commit adultery and fornicate, they don't have, their understanding is lack. They don't understand. And even those who commit spiritual adultery too. Those who go around worshiping idols. Let's see here. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 23. Because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives. And have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 16:32. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. That right there, folks, is the definition of adultery. Is when a woman takes... When a married woman takes strangers instead of her own husband, That's adultery. And I tell you what, and how about instead of me trying to ramble on and on and on and give a definition, I'm just going to let the Bible define itself. Amen? That is the definition in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, that is like the precise definition of adultery right there. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. Ye have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why Jesus raised the bar. He raised the bar to even show that you couldn't keep the law. That's why you need him. That's why I need him. We all need Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ was the only one who is perfect and pure and without spot. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and die in our place. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. It hath been said, whosoever putteth away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, except for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes, divorce is such a big, big topic. It really is. I don't know about you, but to me, that's like a big, complex topic. It really is. It's a big topic. I can't even wrap my whole head around it. I gotta be able to take time and actually do all the study in divorce, because that's a pretty hefty topic. Amen. That's a heavy duty topic too, because a lot of people are getting divorced. Actually, the divorce rate in this, I don't know what the ratio is for the divorce, but it's like some really ridiculous number. It seems like divorce is happening more frequently now. You know what I'm saying? Matthew 19:9. And I say unto you, I say unto you, whosoever put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commit adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, committeth adultery. Mark chapter 10, verses 11 through 12. And he said, whosoever putteth his wife, put away his wife, and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Luke 16:8. I know this is really repetitive, but I'm giving you the account of what he said in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, there's four, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic Gospels. Okay? Luke 16:18. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Now listen, I'm just going to say this on divorce, okay? I can understand if, say, you have a man or a woman who is the victim. Let's say that if the man goes off and commits fornication with another woman and doesn't seem to care and doesn't really seem to care and understand, doesn't really seem to care about his family, but just wants to go around and sleep around and stuff, then yeah, I can understand why the woman would want a divorce. because the man doesn't want to be a part of that family. He just wants to go off and do whatever he wants. Which, if that was the case from the beginning, they shouldn't have gotten married. But yet, that's why there's courtship, people. Courtship is where you really just pray about these things. Amen. Courtship should be a really just a sacred time of coming to God and praying, saying, Lord, is this the right person for me? Now, people call it dating, and I sometimes call it dating, and I really shouldn't, but it's actually really courtship is what it is. Okay? You've got friends, then you got courtship, and then you got marriage. It's what it is. But courtship really should be a time to really get to know each other and examine and pray and ask and seek God about a possible future. That's what courtship is, amen? If more people did that, we probably wouldn't have as much divorce. We probably wouldn't have as much divorce as we do now. Because I think a lot of people assume things. Even I assume things, and we shouldn't make assumptions. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. You know what effeminate is? It's queers. Effeminate is where men dress up as women. It's the lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato, queso, X community. That's what that is. I don't know why I added X at the end. That was weird. But, you know, lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato, queso. That's the LGBTQ community that this nation is somehow promoting and saying that it's okay when God says it's not. Nor abuses of themselves with mankind. Okay? By the way, speaking more on a spiritual side of things, do you think that devout, unrepented Catholics are going to heaven? Nope. Without Jesus Christ, all you devout Catholics, I'm sorry to say, but your works are not going to get you into heaven. All you devout Catholics that claim that you love Jesus Christ because you follow his commandments, you actually are disobedient to God because of man's tradition. All you devout Catholics that claim that you love Jesus Christ, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, well, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful works in your name? You know what the Lord's going to say? I never knew you. Depart from me ye that work iniquity. You want to know something? You take the Catholic Church for an example. They're the ones that are saying, Lord, Lord. And by the way, they could be doing some wonderful works, feeding the poor and all that stuff. But just because you feed the poor and give to a charity does not make you a Christian. By the way, that term Christian is tossed around so much, it's actually losing its meaning. What is a Christian? That's why you gotta be more specific. A born-again Christian. Okay? The question... I'm not asking if you've done works. The question I have for you is, are you born again? Because if you're not born again, you're already in sin. If you're already in sin, That means you're not a good person. He just called me not a good person. Yeah, I did. You know why? Because I'm not a good person either. And yet I am born again. I'm not a good person. I still have this rotten flesh. Listen, I said that to prove a point. If I'm not a good person and whom is born again, what makes you think that you who are not born again are a better person than I? And yet, I'm born again, I have a stinking rotten flesh, and you think that you're better than me because you're not born again? Try again. Because last time I checked, you have a flesh. I have a flesh, and it's corrupt. We have a sin nature. So don't you dare claim that you are a good person when you're not. Because by the way, to say that you are a good person, that makes you look like a liar and a hypocrite. A hypocrite because you think that you're better than everybody else when you're not. A liar because you're pretending to be someone that you're not. Just saying. I'm gonna give it to you all straight. And guess what? We all have that issue. I understand that. But that's why we need Jesus Christ. Because without Him, without Jesus Christ, we're sinners on our way to hell without Christ. Romans chapter, actually hang on a second, I think I missed one. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. And if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from that law of her husband. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 through 15, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And last but not least, James 4:4. We've already read through it, but we're going to read it again. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And actually, that's going to be a good time to kind of close down the video here, okay? Listen. The friendship with the world is enmity with God. The question I have for you today is, are you a friend of the world or are you a friend of God? Because if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Now, listen, I love you guys, okay? And I'm just trying to tell you the truth in love. I don't want you to take everything that I say for truth. I want you to take what I say and you compare it to Scripture. If what I said does not match with the Bible, then let God be true and every man a liar. And if I'm wrong, then let God chasten and correct me and rebuke me. And one of these days, I will have to stand before Him to give an account as to what I said and did in this body, whether good or bad. Amen? But if I'm right, that I pray and ask that he will show you what I'm talking to you about. Now, I don't mean to just, I'm not trying to pick on Catholics, okay? As a matter of fact, there's really only two religions in this world. It is Bible Christianity and witchcraft. Do and done. My religion is the done religion. There's nothing for me to do to earn my salvation. It's already been paid for. When you take a look at Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Catholicism, you take a look at all these different religions, they all require your works. And I'm going to tell you something. That is witchcraft. You know why? Because here's why I say what I say, and here's what I mean. All these other false religions, okay, they require you that you must say this. You have to say it this way. You have to look a certain way. You have to do this. You have to do that. That is witchcraft. Why? Because in witchcraft tells you that you have to say a certain phrase in this certain way. And if you don't, it won't work. That's what witchcraft is. And by the way, the other religions are witchcraft. Do you know why? Because all these false religions are in rebellion against God. Even Chrislam. That seems to be a new thing that is popping up everywhere. And if you don't know what Chrislam is, Chrislam says that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. No, we do not. We don't worship the same God. But Rick Warren is the one who's doing all this Chrislam nonsense. Okay? So, listen. You have a choice. You can... For all of you that are lost, okay, I'm not trying to pick on you, but I'm trying to show you that you have a need. There's a need that you need to have, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a need in a person's life, okay? Without him, you'll perish, okay? You need to have Jesus Christ, and all you need to do is sincerely go before him, repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you. Ask him into your heart and life. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. And thank him for saving you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that God raised him on the third day, you'll be saved. Listen, tomorrow may be too late. Don't wait, because we don't have much time left on this earth. Amen. And I know that a lot of the stuff I said hurts. But if you're clearly not born again and you think you are a good person, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe you, because I bet you there are things that you love in this earth. You know, even your own family can be an idol. Your own family can be an idol. The president can be made an idol. You know, here's the thing. I may have voted for Trump, but here's the thing. We have to be very careful to not idolize him. Yes, there are things that I think that he does very well, that he's tough. I think a lot of pastors need to be tough. Just as tough as he is, if not more so. Why? Because we're coming in a day where there's going to be persecution in this nation. Okay? we need to stand firm on the truth. And we can't be the kind of people that we're just going to let people walk all over us. You need to be tough, but loving, and you have to speak the truth in love. Amen. With that said, I'm going to play a hymn here real quick. And then I'm going to get into some prayer requests, and then we'll close. We'll close off for the day. Okay? This one is near to the heart of God. Amen. Some prayer requests. I wanted to please pray for me and my family. Please pray for me for another job. Pray that, you know, God will give me strength through these next days. It's been really tough having to do a lot of these dishes alone. So pray for me for work, and pray that God will give me strength through this time. Please pray for the ministry, the sermon audio ministry, the Facebook ministry, YouTube ministry. Please pray that God will take these videos and use them for His glory and His honor. We do have a fellow brother named Joey. Please keep him in prayer. He's got pain, and there are times that pain flares up on him, and he has his good days and his bad days. So please keep Brother Joey in prayer. He really does appreciate people praying for him. Please pray for Brother Ryan I tell you what, if there's anyone I know that really is just getting persecuted by the devil, it's Brother Ryan. If you know who he is, he's another, you know, like I said, he's one that has the gospel show, and it just seems like the devil the videos are cutting out on him, and I can't even wrap my head around the reality of how upsetting that can be. So please pray for Brother Ryan, because he needs your prayers. Do pray for me too, because I'm going to tell you something. My videos may not be cutting out in and out as much, but I'm still feeling the effects of it. I'm still feeling effects from the spiritual attacks after I'm done with the videos. And I've had people mad at me for preaching against Roman Catholicism and all that stuff, and people just don't like it. They don't want the truth to be exposed. Satan doesn't want that truth to be exposed. Amen. So, anyways, pray for him. We got a fellow sister. Pray for her and her mother. She's got a lot going on in her life. She feels like she's got a lot of stuff that is kind of burdening her down a little bit. So pray for relief in that area. Please pray for her mother. Her mother is not doing too well. We need to pray for a fellow sister for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That was the specific prayer request. I won't mention who. I only mention names when I know that people don't mind me mentioning names. But if not, I usually just say sister and brother. I know I mentioned Brother Joey's name because he doesn't mind. He actually prefers that. I wouldn't say if he prefers it, but he appreciates that. We'll put it that way. But anyways, listen, it was good to be here with you this morning. Keep us in prayer. We love you. I'm sorry I didn't do a Fishers of Men last night. I'm going to postpone that to Thursday. So there's going to be only 3 broadcasts this week. If the Lord willing, I might do a devotional tomorrow night. I will be doing Fishers of Men on Thursday, if the Lord willing. And Friday, Friday, I'm actually, the Pastor Brandon Live on Friday, I'm postponing to Saturday because Friday is going to be the beginning of class. So, pray for me on that as well. Pray for this semester. We'll be going through the books of Genesis and Job and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and, the life of Christ. We'll be getting into the doctrines of God as well as the Trinity. And then the doctrines of the Bible. So that's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait to hear what they have to say on that. So pray for me on that. But with that said, listen, I love you guys. God bless you. If the Lord leads you to pass these videos along, please feel free to do so. I just want the gospel to be out there, and I just want people to know the truth. Amen. But listen, I love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Love you guys.